be filled with your grace, singing all day long. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, singing all day long. I'm singing all day long.
Mark chapter 4. Verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Basically, if you don't know this parable, you're not going to know any parable until you can get a concept of how this right here works. You're not going to be able to work anything. You know, that's what we come into the church for, is to learn how to live within the kingdom of God. We're not of the world, but we're of the kingdom of God. And this is the entrance right here. After you get saved, you get Jesus. And this is the entrance to the kingdom of God. And you find so many people slipping outside of the kingdom. The Bible says the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, God's designed us to be kingdom people. Amen? And we know that within God's kingdom, there's no poverty. It's the truth. Within God's kingdom, there is no sickness and disease. It's God's will that his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, correct? So you would think that the kingdom that he's bringing is his kingdom. So whatever is in heaven is what God desires to be on earth. Many people want to wait to get to the sweet and by to start to live in kingdom life. But it's God's design, his heart, his purposes, his word that sets you up to live kingdom life here and now. It's going to be great up there, amen? But it can be better down here if we learn to live within the kingdom. And this is how we live in kingdom. Many times people don't receive the benefit of kingdom life or the fruit of kingdom life, and they blame everything. They blame everybody instead of looking at and evaluating themselves. Many people think that a minister's job is to create a plastic kingdom. They're not in the kingdom, but you got to put a mirage up. You got to build a fake set to make them think they're in the kingdom when they're not. God and your lifestyle allows you to enter into the real kingdom. And many times you'll find churches and people and family members trying to create a plastic kingdom of God. It's impossible. Your lifestyle will bring the kingdom to you. Jesus came and gave them the word, and the word of God set them free. And one of the things that we're called to do is to disciple men and women. We can preach the gospel and get them saved and give them entrance into the kingdom. But discipleship, consistent discipleship, will allow people and teach people how to live within that kingdom. First of all, you got to put value on the kingdom. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things will be added unto you. First of all, you've got to have faith in kingdom lifestyle. You've got to have faith in the kingdom of God. Many people don't have faith in kingdom lifestyle because they got it flipped upside down. If I get all of these things, that is the kingdom. If I just get all these things, then I can seek God the way I want to seek God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things will be added unto you. Kingdom lifestyle brings abundance, and you got to have faith in it. It might take some time. You know what takes time? Working the crud out of us. That's what takes time, because God wants to set it up. He wants to do it right. You were designed to live in the kingdom. You were designed to be blessed of God. So when God gets you ready, you come into church, and he starts poking this and poking that and pulling on this and pulling on that. He's taking off all the other crud that the devil put on you that prevents kingdom lifestyle from happening. He confronts us. He convicts us. He reproves us of all sin where we're missing it. And he'll work us over. Amen? So if you want to be a part of kingdom lifestyle, you got to let the word work you over a bit. There's no magic wand in the kingdom of God, because many times the things that we do violate God's hand from moving on their life in the area that he wants to move in. Many times we want to blame the devil for doing certain things in our life. Oh, the devil's after me. The devil's after me. The devil's after me. Well, get out of the devil's kingdom. Get out of his car. Get out of his house. You know, when you're living under the lordship of the devil, God's not going to bless you because it's blessing the devil. But when you got a mindset to live for Christ, God can bless that. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some seed fell by the waysides, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no depth, it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And some fell on the ground, and it did yield fruit that sprung up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Every once in a while, you need to look back. Every once in a while, you need to evaluate your business. You need to evaluate your life. You need to evaluate your ministry. You need to evaluate your family. And today is a day that we can look with the Holy Ghost and make evaluation. Where you go in the kingdom of God is based upon this. Nothing spiritually will happen in your life until you get a revelation for this. You won't be able to hold on to any truth. You won't be able to hold on to the blessings that God gives you. You know how many times God blesses people, but they can keep it for about a week and it's gone? They can get joy and keep it for about 6 months and it's gone. But God wants to give you stuff that endures. And it's endurance that wins the race. See, the devil in mind somebody getting blessed, he said, well, that person's got slippery hands. They can't keep anything. But we're going to learn how to keep what God gives and grow. So Jesus taught him these things. He said, if you can understand this, you can understand any parable. And he said unto them, he that has an ear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Don't you know there's a mystery to the kingdom of God and kingdom lifestyle? Don't you know you can be saved and not know the mystery of the kingdom of God? And every day you find out more and more and more and more. There is a mystery to kingdom lifestyle. There's some stuff you don't know that you're going to find out. And once you find it out, it's going to make your life much better. We got to unfold the mystery. There was one mystery that's being unfolded. How many know the mystery of debt? The mystery of debt. And God gave revelation about debt. And he unfolded his plan concerning debt. It was so powerful. And many times we didn't understand. God was telling the people to get out of debt, get out of debt. There's a mystery to kingdom lifestyle. That's why God said, don't owe anybody anything, because there's a mystery to the kingdom of God. And we've got to trust the Bible and trust his plan, because there's a mystery that you might not understand, but you follow that mystery and you'll end up being blessed. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, stick to Scripture and don't stray off. And in every case you see, wherever we failed, wherever someone didn't succeed, in any area of your life, you're going to find it in this chapter. Whenever a ministry has blown up or crashed or burnt, you're going to find it right here in this scripture. The sower soweth the word. Most important thing in kingdom lifestyle is the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And there is a spirit of the Word of God. There is the anointing on the Word of God. The kingdom of God comes to you, first of all, in the Word. And you've got to hear the kingdom before you can receive the kingdom. That's why the devil is constantly after your attention and after your focus. He's trying to keep you away so you can't hear the Word. That's why he's trying to silence the Word of God. You will not receive kingdom lifestyle if you're not able to hear the Word. Whenever you catch a distraction while the Word of God is being preached or taught, that's a kingdom robber. Even a manifestation of the Holy Ghost that keeps you outside of the Word. The Bible didn't say that the kingdom of God comes to you by laughing in the Holy Ghost. No, it said the kingdom of God wants that, will bring you that. Amen? The Word of God establishes the kingdom of God in your life. The Word of God will bring the kingdom to you. And you got to learn to hold on to the Word like nothing before. Amen? The Word is primary. The sower sows the Word. So you got to get Word. Many people like to stack up on money. Stack up on the Word. Many people like to build their confidence in many things. But before you build out or launch out to do something, make sure that you're solid in the Word to do that, because money will come and go. But the Word of God will remain there. And sometimes you're going to lose all earthbound things and you're not going to have anything to go by, but the Word will carry you where you need to go. So make sure you're solid in the Word before you do anything. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Now, you got to realize you got some enemies. And you got some people you need to know about, and you need to identify. Your first adversary that's going to come at you is going to be the devil himself to steal the word out of your heart. There is a devil, and he seeks to destroy you. The Bible says when the word is sown, immediately the devil comes. So that's why Jesus had such a deliverance ministry. Wherever the word is taught the most, sown the most, you see the devil immediately cometh the most. He will attack the word. Isn't it strange that Jezebel always went after the prophets? Saul got mad, went after the prophets. They would always go after the word. Immediately the devil comes, because if the devil can destroy the word, he can destroy you. He can't get you until he gets the word out of you, because the word stands. So immediately the devil comes. The other thing that will happen, in verse 5 it said, and some fell on stony ground, where it was not much earth. And immediately it sprung up because it had no earth. These are they likewise which who sown on stony ground, who when they, verse 16, have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, they get all happy. They get all emotional. And they get all excited and have no root in themselves. And so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, these are they, when they are tested, they immediately become offended. Whenever the word of God is taught also, not only do you get demonic manifestation, but people get offended easily. It's a process. You're going to have the devil come against your mom while we're trying to teach the word. Then you're going to hear a part of the word, and your flesh is going to get offended. The devil will come and try to steal that word from you. You cannot let the devil steal the word from you. You got to hold on to that word. And then you get something else. The devil's gone. Then your next adversary is yourself. Do you know that your own flesh will reject the word of God and doesn't want the word of God? Your own flesh. Devil's gone. But it's your own flesh fighting to stay in charge. And you have not much earth, and you become easily offended. Now there's another one. So emotions, when pressure comes, your flesh arises and your flesh gets out of control. There are those that drop out because of the devil. Then there are others. Easily offended. Spirit of offense, just the flesh. But you can't build a church on flesh. You got to build it on the word of God. Amen. And the flesh becomes offended. Now here's another group. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of things entering in, choke the word, and become unfruitful. People get in just as broke, all messed up. Got in, got a little bit of the kingdom. Devil couldn't get them in the spirit. They could say, well, that's the devil. I don't receive the devil. They could stick through anything. They could stick through the persecution of the flesh. They could put that under. But there was one thing that they could not handle. Riches. The deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. Worldliness. Don't you know that kingdom life will cause you to separate from the world and not to become a part of the world? People that want to remain worldly will not survive in the kingdom of God. You've got to separate. You've got to separate. It will void out the kingdom of God in your life. You can't live in the world and in the church at the same time. There's got to be a separation. They fall by the wayside. Worldliness. There are certain people that can't enter into the kingdom of God because of worldliness. The cares of this world have choked the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And this is the group that we want to produce in this last hour, okay? And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. God wants us to be able to produce fruit that will last. You can never stop sowing. You can never stop sowing. You have to continue sowing the word. So we want to sow the word. How many want to be co-laborers in sowing the word? It takes faith to sow. We can't sow forever without return. What does that mean? Think about that. You won't be able to sow forever without return. And if there is not the return, if you don't get the return back on your seed, you must make change. What does it mean? Everybody has a word and everybody has a seed. And different farmers have different seeds that will produce in different areas. Isn't that neat? There are certain people that are called to sow into one type of ground, and their seed is fixed. It'll grow there according to the soil and according to the ground. People wonder, well, how come this one can be successful here and this one can't? Because of the seed that the Lord gives you. Your seed won't work every place, only the place where God tells you to sow it and to plant it. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your ministry. There is a message that we have that we believe in, amen, that we produce. There's something that we have to say that is different than our brothers. We all say the same thing, but there is a seed that God has given us to plant that God wants here. That's how you can have a church across the street and have it be completely God's will to have it across the street. And we can have one here and we can have there everywhere because God likes variety. But there is a seed in this ministry that God wants planted in this area. And what we've got to do is we've got to find out exactly what heart to plant the seed in so that it would get the most valued return. So the first thing we do is say, well, let's stop sowing on that because it does not grow in concrete. Let's sow where God told us to sow. So we have got to start sowing immediately. And the Bible says, if you're with us, you can't be against us. What does that mean? That if you're sowing with us, how do you know somebody's with you? If they're sowing with you, if they're sowing the same thing with you, that way they can't be against us. Jesus is coming and you already have enough. Somebody doesn't have anything at all. Somebody doesn't have anything at all. Maybe some of the reason why we're not entering into the kingdom to the level that we are is because we're so self-centered and not thinking about somebody else. Try to get out to prayer. Try to pick up a ministry. Try to do something for somebody. Amen. But we've got to be evangelistic. And we know how to save souls. We're going to go and save souls. Go put the signs and wonders out on the street. We're going to go put the signs and wonders out on the street. We've got to reach souls and we've got to save souls. We have given much. So we've got to do what we've got to do. We've got to save souls. So we're going to change gears. We're going to change gears and we're going to win some souls. How many are with us? And the total flux of the ministry will be to see these souls come to nourishment. Do not get in the way of these little lambs. I want some people to covenant with us in this new adventure that we're going into. I have complete confidence in it. What we did on Friday nights at Shreveport is Friday nights, before we had a Holy Ghost meeting, we went out and got souls to bring to the Holy Ghost meeting. So when we were demonstrating that weird stuff, we were doing the weird stuff to people that we had invited in. We went out and hit the areas and we demonstrated the glory of God and then we brought them back and let them see it all corporately together. Signs and wonders and miracles on Friday night. What we did is we say, well, go out and do those things out there on the streets and then come back here and we'll celebrate what you did. When you go after souls, a lot of people don't do evangelism. Why? Because of the cost of evangelism. People do transfer growth because transfer people pay bills. And it's security in that because you don't have to train them. You don't have to wait for them to grow up. When people get saved, they don't learn the principles of tithing and giving. It takes them about 2 to 3 years to get there. And if you want to change something, you got to pay the price to change something. And it's a big price. And we just got to bite it. Y'all ready to go for it? One, pray. Two, minister. Pray and minister. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you are, for all that you have. Lord, we pray for new converts. Lord, we pray that people would grow in the power of the Holy Ghost. We pray that people would grow in your spirit, Father God. We pray over all the needs of Nations Church. Lord, we pray for supernatural increase in the name of Jesus this week. Lord, bless your people, Father God. Bless your work in the name of Jesus. Bless those in the city and out of the city. Father God, we pray for effective workers in the name of Jesus. And we pray for increase in Jesus' name. Father God, as we seek out to hear your voice and to win souls and to win the lost, we pray for you to do a supernatural work. Lord, we pray for a harvest of souls, Father God. And I pray for a supernatural change over everyone in this room in Jesus' name, Father God, that you would cause them, Father God, to be effective ministers in Jesus' name. we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.